At a training seminar for hiking guides at the South Rim, Colleen Kaska opens with a Havasupai prayer. Kaska and Jack Poingayespa of Hopi are here to speak about indigenous views of the canyon.
To a lot of tribes, including my own, this is a church in some sorts. And so I think it's really important to let people know that it is a sacred space and to act appropriately and to have the proper mindset.
11 tribes consider the Grand Canyon part of their cultural and spiritual traditions, including Havasupai, Hopi, Navajo, Zuni, and Paiute. Poingayespa is part of an initiative called Intertribal Centennial Conversations.
It's basically an opportunity for natives to kind of reclaim their ancestral homelands using this centennial, which kind of marks the anniversary of 100 years of being excluded from the national park for natives, and flipping it into a way to kind of integrate native presence back into the park.
The first step is to add native names onto park signs and maps. Many visitors hike the Bright Angel Trail, but Kaska says they don't know it's an old Havasupai path.
The Bright Angel Trail, our people call Kathatbehe, and that's because of the trees, because of the way that their branches are, or the leaf part of it, is how my dad explained it to me. Kathatbehe, and that's Coyote Tail Trail, because it's kind of bushy at the end.
The next goal is to work with the Park Service to hire more native guides, artists, and entrepreneurs. Nikki Cooley was the first Navajo woman to work as a licensed commercial river guide in the Grand Canyon.
I felt very alone in that respect, that I didn't see a lot of brown people on the river.
Cooley says many of her guests on river trips thought of Native Americans as a vanished race or a Hollywood stereotype. She fought those misconceptions by telling Navajo stories.
You know, you get your water from the earth, you get your food from the earth, and you get your strength from the deities, the holy people who reside in these places, because they came long before you, so you could be here enjoying it, but also carrying on that tradition of not treating it just as a playground.
The Intertribal Group's third goal is to involve the tribes at higher levels of management and policy. Jason Nez is a Navajo archaeologist. He says native culture and environmental protection are closely linked, but parks were founded on a false idea of untouched wilderness.
And they've used that myth against native people. They've used it to keep us out of participation and management. They've used it to keep us out of park areas where we've lived for time immemorial.
No national park has a model for restoring native presence, so the Grand Canyon is leading the way. Serena Riggs of the Navajo Nation is part of the Intertribal Initiative. She says it won't be easy. The centennial celebration is a reminder of past wrongs.
What is there to celebrate? You know, do we celebrate the Trail of Tears? Do we celebrate the long walk of Navajo and Apache?
But Riggs says the centennial has also awakened something in tribal nations, a new commitment to make their voices heard and share their experiences. For Riggs, the canyon is a spiritual place, not a tourist destination.
It's not just rock. You can feel energy coming off of it. You can feel that it's alive.
Her hope is from now on, the Grand Canyon's 6 million annual visitors will have a chance to see it that way, too. For KNAU, I'm Melissa Sivany in Flagstaff.